corporately go where the Lord is taking us. He showed me a vision one time. I was 5 years old in the Lord. 5 years old. And he showed me there was coming a time where we would actually be able to see limbs grow, that we're going to see the miraculous. But the miraculous won't come until the church is in the condition that can contain God's power, His the power of the Holy Spirit. And she's not. The church isn't. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be discussing, because what the Holy Spirit is doing throughout the land is, it says judgment begins in the house of God. And it's starting. So don't try to run from it. It is the hand of God, that He's the one that does all of this. So, okay. I wanted to share that I'm more of a teacher. Dave's more of a preacher. There is a huge difference. There is a huge difference. It's to me, and you might think I'm prejudiced, but I don't believe I am, because I believe the witness of you will bear witness with this. I believe Dave's the best preacher I've ever heard. I really do. If you look at his notes, there's very little on his notes. It's a gift. It's a gift. And all of us have been imparted a gift. All of us, we all have a purpose. Every single one of us have a purpose. His purpose is preaching. Mine really, one of my minor gifts is, administration. But it is a minor gift. My stronger gift is evangelism. It's not street ministry the way that Dan does. It will be more for preaching and that type of evangelism. I look forward when I'm released from detail and creating systems, because that's what I'm doing right now. I'm creating systems for the church. God is a God of systems. We have a solar system. We have a body system. So creating systems the way that the body is supposed to work, that's my major function right now. But it's not what God has in store for me all the time. For you, what is God? What is His purpose? I believe that there is everything that is in our life, whether it be people, things, situation, is either here to bless us or to give us a life lesson. Either or. Other than some pesky things, like I think of mosquitoes. What in the world did the Lord create mosquitoes for? They're kind of pesky, aren't they? They're just pesky. Flies. Flies. What is the purpose of a fly? So there's pesky things, and then there's people who are put in our life, like I said, to bless us, and there's people in our life to give us life lessons. And it's our responsibility as God's children to determine, is somebody a pest? And if they are, we still love them in the love of God. Or is somebody in our life for a life lesson? What is it? And the Lord wants to show us. He wants to drop it in our spirit to be able to know the difference. I'm doing a teaching today on, it's more of a topical teaching. Dave does expository teaching. He goes through the Word of God, and that way you know that it comes in order. I love expository teaching, but I wanted, because he's on a roll. I didn't want to touch his roll. So, but what the Lord has put on my heart is to share on three things. Knowing, being, and doing. And there's a big difference that we could know something, but yet not walk it out. Like I was saying earlier, that we can theologically agree with something in the Word and say, I understand this. I understand this, but not practically walk it out. And that's what God's doing. He's doing to all of us. That anything we agree in here, if we're not walking it out, He's going to see to it in His love and His mercy that we are going to be able to practically apply these things in our life. It will be a good time. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every person here. Lord, You know who You wanted here today. And Father, I pray, I bear witness to what Marina said. The one thing You want everybody to take from today, Lord, may everybody hold on to that one truth. Holy Spirit, that You would go before us, that You would call us. Lord, that we would hear Your Spirit speaking to us. Lord, that we would do away with, what are we going to have for lunch? We would do away with all those practical things. We would set aside this time for You. For You, Father. Thank You in Jesus' name. I do have handouts in your bulletins. I do have a few if anybody else wants one. So you can go along. It starts with the being, knowing, and doing. So, again, it's where the Lord has the church, of being able to understand the importance of knowing, the importance of being, and the importance of doing. There are three types of knowing that I'm going to talk to you about, because without understanding all of the words, not all, I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson, even though I consider myself to be a Greek student, Hebrew, I love studying, I can study one word for hours. I just love it. And I never read a book in school. I always cheated. I always read the beginning, the end, the middle, and did a book report. Remember old, do they still do book reports? So I wasn't a good student, but I'm a good student of the Lord. I love His Word. I love what He reveals to us, because this is the only thing that's alive. His Word is alive, and that's why it's so important that you just don't be in His Word by yourself here on Sunday mornings. You've got to be in the Word on eating, because if we only ate once or twice a week, what would we look like? We'd be pretty bad. So we need to learn to spiritually eat more than just once or twice a week. The first knowing I want to talk about, it's very similar to the word believe. There's a word here, believe. It says that the demons believe. It says demons believe. But you know, their kind of believe isn't the same kind of believe that we have. You know, it is different. So the first kind of knowing, it is a head knowledge of knowing. And God's desire is that there would be transformation. He loves head knowledge. We take in head knowledge, and then what we're supposed to do with it is be transformed by knowledge. But if we don't, if we choose to just keep it in our head and not drop it down to our heart, there is no transformation. None at all. And that's why we're always asking the Lord, Lord, get me out of this situation. Oh, Lord, I can't take this anymore. And many times, He's got us in that situation for a life lesson. He's got us in there so that we look to Him. It's not because He's not all-powerful. The greatest thing that I see happening in the body of Christ, and this is a small church, our church in Bend is very large, is disillusionment. People are disillusioned that God, the God thing, isn't working. It's not working because we're not applying the power that is in us that God has given to us. It is very powerful. Once we know the tools He's given us, He's laid them all down, He's put them on a platter, He said, take, partake, receive. And then if we don't do that, we walk crippled, maimed, unable to really know and apply the truth. Okay, the second one that I've got is revelation knowledge. And let's look at Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Real knowledge. Real knowledge. You know, there is a lot of knowledge. I'm a researcher. It's amazing. I don't care what you want to learn. You can find it if you Google it. It's amazing. There's so much knowledge out there, but there's very little truth. Very little truth. God's Word is real knowledge. It's real truth. It will never change. Never change. Never. So revelation knowledge, let's also look at Romans 8:6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set in the spirit is life and peace. Do we want to have life and peace? True life. Not just existing, true life. He gives it to us. It's right there for us. Again, served on the platter. It's up to us whether we pick that up or whether we just leave it in our Bible. We open up our Bible on Sunday morning. We agree with it. Yeah, that was good. And then we walk out the door and we're the same. It's because we haven't taken the revelation knowledge that he gives, whether he gives it to Dave, whether he gives it to you and you're in the Word by yourself. That's revelation knowledge. And this I say, when the Lord gives you revelation knowledge that is sparked by his Spirit, it will always come to pass if we apply it in our life. But we have to be responsible to do something with it. You know, I was thinking of when we've been having a lot of prayer up front lately. And I love to pray over people. But I want to scream, now the ball's in your court. He's not a magic genie that somebody prays over you and it's done. No, once you leave here, the work begins. And it's up to you to really apply the truth. Say no to the flesh. Say no. And then he always gives us a way of escape. Take the way of escape. And then it's miraculous to be able to see how he empowers us to walk it out. But until we learn the simple, simple truth, it's so simple, our dependency upon him, we can't do it on our own. We can't. No matter what you're trying to do, you can't do it on your own. You know, we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that with us. Okay, the revelation knowledge, it's also there to reprogram the way we think. Before I became a Christian, and I, at 31, I accepted the Lord. So I ran for 31 years not believing in Jesus Christ. I put him away with the tooth fairy, with Santa Claus, and everything else. But when I hit 31 and my eyes were open to who he was, I went, wow, he's alive. He is alive. So I started reprogramming myself in the Word, constantly in the Word. It was so awesome because I literally got reprogrammed. And he trained me to know the difference between knowledge, revelation knowledge, and my knower. You've all heard me talk about my knower. I've been trained well with my knower when the Holy Spirit, and you know what? You can be trained well with your knower. You can be trained with it. After you have walked with the Holy Spirit, not in years, but with being trained by the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to say, you know, I know this. I know this. And I call it my knower. And when my knower is sparked, nobody could drag away what I know, because it's kicked off with the Holy Spirit. And it is awesome. I love to be able to say I know something, because in myself, I know very little. You know, I'm not well educated. I know very little. But the things of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's saying something, I know it. And you can know it too. You can grab a hold of something and grab a hold of it. The next part of is yada, which is know, to know him. It's another Greek word, yada. In fact, I know that the world has perverted, I don't think intentionally perverted that word, how they go yada, 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 yada. They don't know they're perverting that word, but they are. That's a God word. That's a very intimate word that means into me, intimacy, which is not only into me does he see, because even if we don't want him to see, into me and into you he sees. But it means I get to see into him and know him and love him. And it is a wonderful adventure to be able to walk with him, not being in bondage to all the stuff of our past, but to truly come to know him, to yada him. It is it says, and Adam knew Eve. That's the same Hebrew word, yada, knew. It's a very, very intimate word. John 3:16. Now everybody knows this scripture, doesn't everybody? I'm sure everybody in here could recite this. But, you know, the Word of God is so alive. I was reading the Word, and it came alive to me, and I went, and only did it come alive because I'm a researcher. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Let's find out, because I know that what happens in the church is the typical church. Everybody raises it. Raise your hands for salvation. You accept Jesus Christ into your life and you continue walking the same way. Because we don't understand that scripture. The one that everyone can quote. We don't really understand what that's talking about. Eternal life is more than just eternal life, even though that's going to be great when we go be with Him in heaven. Glory. No more tears, no more pain. I mean, all my accidents I had when I was young are all hurting now. I mean, all the aches, everything are all there. So eternal life is good, but it's much more than that. Let's go to John 17:3. This is so good, you guys. I pray you get as excited as I did when I read this. Revelation, knowledge. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom we have set. So what is eternal life? What is eternal life? Knowing Him intimately. To me, that's profound. Because as of just a little while ago, I thought eternal life just had to do about there. I'm reading the word, Revelation knowledge, and it's saying what eternal life is. That we would know Him personally. Awesome. That's revelation knowledge. It really is. It's here. Because we can know Him. We can know Him. It's here. His kingdom is here, but it's also to come. It's both. Because someday we're going to be taken away from Him. Glory be to God, to be taken away from Him here and be able to bathe in eternal life. But eternal life is to know Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him personally? I mean, He really is. I have a lot of close friends. I have a lot of close, but He's my bestest friend. He knows me like nobody else knows me. He knows my past. He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows where I'm going if I allow Him to take me there. Because He'll never force us. He'll never force us to do what He wants us to do. And that goes back to the purpose of our life. He created us all with a purpose. Let's go to Philippians 3:10. So again, without that, because the church has allowed us to think that being born again is it, people allow themselves to be born again and then we're stuck. Okay, I did that. I'm born again. I've accepted and received Christ. But we stay there. We stay as infants. But that's not what He desires us to do. He desires us to move and to grow and to get to know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and be conformed to His death. Be conformed to His death. You hear that? Be conformed to His death. And really what that means is I don't get to do what I want to do. In fact, Josephine's supposed to be dead. She tries to rise up sometimes. But that's what Galatians 2:20 is. It's not I who live anymore, but Christ who lives in me. That's where we're supposed to be. Because that's when the power comes. That's when the power comes. It only comes then. And until the church really grabs a hold of that, we're powerless. We're a bunch of wimpy Christians that sit in churches every Sunday, and go back out in the world, and there's no change. Does that sound mean? It's not. It's not. Because the Lord loves us so much that He will continue to put pressure where there needs to be pressure. The Word says He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. How do you take out wrinkles? Heat, pressure, ooh, Lord, hard. And that's what He's doing. He's blowing through the land. He's blowing through the land. Receive His truth. His truth is we've got wrinkles. All of us have wrinkles. So we partner with the Lord. We allow Him to smooth out the wrinkles. If not, guess what? We'll be coming around the mountain again because He loves us so much. Okay, done with that one. Song of Solomon. Oh, excuse me. No, I'm not there. Okay. Again, he always tells me get rid of the notes. Someday I'm gonna. How do we get to know him? We spend time with him. It is so wonderful to, last night I left here and a couple of the guys were watching the game. Did anyone see the moon last night? Oh my goodness. I'm thinking that my neighbor on one side's thinking I'm nuts because I'm out there just worshiping you. Thank you, Lord. This is how, and it was warm. It was just perfect. You know, spend time with him. He loves to spend time with you. Spend time with him. Another way to get to know him is being in the Word. I love to mark my Bible. This is like my fourth Bible. I love to mark up my Bible. But there is a saying that says it's not how you mark your Bible, but how the Bible, your Bible marks you. Is it marking you? Another way to get to know him is by asking. You know, if you're brand new in the Lord, I'm telling you there's, or if you've recently rededicated your life, there's a season, a window that I'm telling you, I know that he answers a high rate of your prayers. You know why? Because he's drawing you by his love. He's drawing you. So get to know him by being in the Word, spending time with him, in prayer, worship. It doesn't matter if you're at the stop sign or where, worship him. You know, worship him for who he is. That's a way to get to know him. And when you hear him speak to you something, I'm thinking of, I went to go and help Chad, because they're hunting, put his dog inside for the day, for the evening. And I felt the Holy Spirit remind me about not leaving the keys in the car. Because Buddy, he bounces a lot. He locks the door. So I felt I heard that. So instead of taking the keys out, I just kind of closed the door without it latching all the way. You know what I'm talking about? So go in and what should have... Oh, and I left my home not properly dressed because it was only going to take a minute. So... you know, no makeup on, no nothing. I just walked out the door. You know, I was decent. I was, praise God, I was decent. But, so I go and let the dog in the house, come back, and sure enough, Buddy's locked the door. He's locked the door. And so I'm trying to play, because the door's only just cracked a little bit. I'm trying to pop it open, trying to be really, and then it closes. And I'm going, shh, great. My phone is locked in the house. So I can't get to my phone. I can't do anything. But I remember the Lord saying, take the keys out of the car. But did I do that? No. So here I am walking back to the house going, okay, am I going to call Dave Koontz? Am I going to call Larry? Who am I going to call? They don't have a key to the office. So I've got to do something. So I said, okay, I'll call Terry. Well, I don't have a phone. How am I going to call? I'm going to go knock on. Well, I don't even know Terry's number because, you know, we're all lazy. I don't even know her number. We don't know numbers anymore. So I go into the motorhome, click, get out our thing of numbers. And then I flag this lady down walking. I said, do you have a cell phone? She goes, yeah, what for? I said, well, I've locked myself out of my home. This is my home. Oh, she goes, you're the one that lives there? I said, yes. So it was good because God used the situation in a wonderful way. She's lived here her whole life. In fact, knew the people who used to live in our home. So it is wonderful. But we need to know when the Lord speaks something, be obedient and listen to what he has to say. Integrity. We're talking about now being. We're leaving knowing because that's what I'm talking about today. Knowing, being, and doing. Let's talk about being. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost beings will flow living water. When we are being what God's called us to be, taking what we hear on Sunday mornings, applying it to our life, then we are being. We flow from our being. It flows. No matter where you go, you should be flowing. People should be able to look and say, wow, look at that. She's flowing. It should be with good things, not flowing with bad things. So being is very, very important. And we become who we are when we take this knowledge, and when we're by ourselves, that's really who we are. Does that make sense? When we're alone, that's who we really are. Not when we're here on Sunday morning. That's not who you really are. Who you really are is when you're home. That's who you're being. And it's God's desire. I always do this, that he's forming us to being who he's called us to be. In the 60s, there was this thing to tell the truth. And they would say, will the real, you know, stand up? And that's what God's doing. He's saying, will the real, all of you guys stand up? Now doing, there's two kinds of word, because we're talking about knowing, being, and doing. There's two kinds of words that we want to talk about doing. One is deeds. We get saved, and the normal average thing that happens to a lot of people is they start doing the work of the Lord. They go right to work. Never mind that they didn't even ask the Lord if that's what he wants them to do. They just start working. You know, it's pretty normal for that to happen. But all throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, he talks about he's not pleased with our deeds. It's not about deeds. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles? And you know what he's going to say? Leave me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So see, deeds aren't what saves us. But if you're just sitting and doing no deeds, that's just as dead. Because it says faith without works is dead. We're not saved by deeds, but deeds we do when he tells us what to do. There's the difference. There's my second kind of doing that I want to talk about. When he speaks to us, like when we had our dad at home, and we'd say, Dad, can we go to the movies? And he'd say, no, I don't want to. Who are you going with? You know, no, I don't want you to go to the movies. And God's the same way. We don't do unless he says. And when he says to do something, we need to do it. Even coming over here. Many of you know I didn't want to come here. But I'm so glad I came here. I'm so glad that I came here. Because the Lord knows what he's doing better than we know. Revelations 2:2-4. I know your deeds. See, there's the doing. I know your deeds and your toil, your perseverance, and you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. So again, no deeds is not what saves us. There's going to be a huge amount of people that are out working for God, but it doesn't please him. Another one, 2:19. But I have this against you. Oh, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, that your deeds of late are greater than the first. Again, deeds is not, he not pleased with, and then the next verse starts off, but I have this against you. I like the deeds you're doing, but I have this against you. 3:1-2. To the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. So there are deeds that are complete and pleasing to the Lord. And then there's deeds that are not pleasing to the Lord. And it's up to us as individual children of Him to determine what is a good deed and what's a bad deed. And I have this to tell you. It's very simple. It's what He says, do. It's what He says, don't do, don't do. He's so easy. He's so wonderful. Do I have one more? I think I have one more. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of your mouth, my mouth. So we need to know that there are deeds that are very pleasing to the Lord. Let's go to Song of Solomon. This is so good. It's another revelation knowledge. Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought us to the meet into his chamber. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will exalt your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. So what does it say first? Draw us close first and then let us run. So first, everything what I'm saying has to go down into one little thing. We have to learn to sit with the Lord first. And then we get to run. Once we learn to sit with Him, then He tells us what to do. Isn't the Word of God so good? But we've got to learn to sit with Him first. And then, because isn't that great? Draw me after you and let us run together. So we have to be drawn to Him first. And then He tells us the list of things. And He wants us. He all has God-given assignments for you to do. Every single one of us have a God-given assignment. And it's up to us whether we're accomplishing that, either within the church, outside the church, in your family, wherever He says, do. And I know, in Jesus' name, that the Lord's putting His finger on things that He's been calling something for you to do that you haven't been doing. Whatever that is, do it. Because He'll take you to the next level. His whole thing that He wants to do is to continue to rise us, to take us to the next level. Okay, I want to show you a 2-minute video. I think that's where I'm at. I'm at the 2-minute video.
Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly.
Did you forgive her?
Well, Lord, I mean, I was just thinking, like, why should I forgive her?
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
Well, you shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Lord.
Then you'll do this.
But, Lord...
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, this is, Lord. This is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord...
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming okay? by here? Yes. Well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand.
Hey! Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh. Well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right. I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask.
Isn't that good? And that's the way we are. Let's go to James. Go But prove yourself doer of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. The word delude really is that we can be deceived in what we perceive is what's going on. Because did you see the attitude in Cat? No. There was no attitude in Cat. Because we can delude ourselves to think something is really going on. So if we do not do what the word tells us to do. So again, the Lord's main focus is that he wants us to apply his word and to be transformed by his word as we allow him to transform us to be more like him. When I was studying in-state, there was this wonderful guy that a lot of Leona used a lot of his material. His name's Bobby Clinton. He's got this, he understands psychology in a Christian way. And it's wonderful. And he takes and he teaches people these four phases that we all are in. Are in one of these phases. You can't be simultaneously in one of these phases. So as I'm sharing this, I'm praying that the Lord would show you what phase you're in. So inner life growth is the first phase. It's a spiritual formation phase. That's where the Lord is trying to transform us into being who he's called us to be. The time spent in this phase, it's up to us. We can spend our whole life here, and God will never take us out of here. Our whole life. But when we partner with God and we say, okay, Lord, I agree with you. I see what you've got your finger on. I agree with you and conform to it. We get to graduate. But until then, we're in the internal life. Let's go to Luke. This is what he calls the Luke 16. Did I have Luke 16? It's okay. It's a principle that says when you're faithful in the little things, he's going to allow you to be faithful in more things. And it's the same with when we give him part of our heart, he gives us more. You know, people are always thinking God's wanting to take, he's wanting to give you more. You just need to give to him what he's asking you to give to him. Unforgiveness, give it to him. You'll get more. Wrong relationship that he's saying, don't do that. Give it to him. You'll get more. And the ways of God are totally opposite of the world. You get more when you do it his way. So it's about character formation. Phase one is about character formation. You know, people, there's a huge amount of the people in the church that believe God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy, but that's not his first thing. What's his first thing? Character formation. That we would be a people of integrity. That's number one. That is number one. That we would have the fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit running in our life, that people can say, wow, I just seen long suffering there. Wow, I just seen that. But if they're seeing other things bubble up out of you, then you're going to stay in this phase until you get it. So allow the Lord to give it to you. Does anyone like tests? Do you think the Lord gives us tests? He does, doesn't he? On your handout, you're given, there's a whole bunch of scripture right there. A whole bunch that talks about the Lord putting us through tests. I don't like tests. But the Lord has us all in a test. Every single one of us is in a test. Let's read one of the verses. Deuteronomy 8:2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So there's one scripture saying that the Lord tests you. He tests all of us. The word test means to prove. The word prove, it's the word tried. The word tried is, it is very similar to prove, and it's almost like what a gold, jewelry maker would do with gold refined. Right. That's where we get refiner's fire. That's what tried is. That's what test is. In fact, you know, when gold is such a great price, I took a bunch of my gold to this one. I called around and got the best deal and got for all my gold. So they actually test them. I was wondering, what are you doing? They take this little thing and they scrape off a little bit of it. And then they test it to make sure it's gold, what it is. And that's what that word tested means. It means to prove that it's tried. And when we're tried, and even when the gold is heated up, they say that what the goldsmith is doing is trying to get his reflection in the gold, because they have to wipe off impurities and all kinds of stuff. And it's the same thing that the Lord does with us. He heats us up, wipes off the scum, boils us again. Oh God, I don't want to be here again. But here we are, because he's trying us. He's proving us, which is not a bad thing. It's the Lord's training ground. Phase one is the Lord's training ground. And he allows us to have an open book test. Is that good? I love open book tests. The test we're in, we get to do it with having an open book. Isn't that wonderful that we get to have an open book? And he doesn't test us beyond what we can take. He always gives us, Dave said a couple of weeks ago, he gives us a way of escape. So he will never, oh God, I've had enough. I can't take anymore. He says he never will test us beyond what we can take, what we can tolerate. I love quotes. I'm all about quotes. I've loved quotes since I became born again because I love people's wisdom. I'm constantly thinking about quotes. I'm writing down quotes. We're putting it on the bulletin. I just love quotes. Here's a good quote. I love it. We need to put it on the bulletin. I have several books on quotes. God wants full custody and not just weekend visits. God wants full custody and not just weekend visits. And many times that's all he has is weekend visits. But he wants full custody. This is good. I'm getting there. Okay, the three tests. We have to go through three tests in the inner life growth phase. The first test is an integrity test. God uses these tests to increase our faith, shape our character, give us vision. What our yeses are yes, so that our yeses are yes and our noes are noes. What we say to somebody, if we're saying yes and we're walking out something, you're going to be in this phase for a long time until your character is tested and we get integrity. I mean, are you seeing it? The ways of God are so easy. What we're in, we can get out very easy. Submit to the Lord. Give it up. Give it up. Whatever he's saying, give up. And once you get it, it's kind of like, oh, I freely give it up because I can see you're about ready to give me something. It's very healthy. It's very good. Integrity tests come in many forms. Examples would be like Joseph, a man who walked in integrity, even though everybody was saying he's not. And he got jailed. He got framed. One who didn't walk an integrous way was King Saul. There's good and bad examples of people who walked in integrity. The second test is a word test, and that's in the inner life growth phase. The word test, the Lord gives us a word, a rhema word in the word. Has anyone ever read the word and went, wow, that's good? That's a word test. After you read it, you will be tested in what he gave you. I was doing something, walking as a good Christian woman, but had something going on in my mind that nobody knew. Only I knew, and God knew. He put his finger on it, and I continued to play with it. Nobody knew. It wasn't like a smoking thing or a cussing thing. It just was only happening in my mind. And the Lord put his hand on it. He said he wanted me to stop it. He wanted me to walk in obedience and not do it. But I was playing with it. So I was in, got into the Word, because even doing it, I love the Word. Flip right to, I think, First Chronicles, and it said, I lay before you today life and death. And I started to tremble. I'd never had a fear of the Lord, and there is going to be a healthy fear that's going to come across this land again of the Lord. There will be a healthy fear return to this land. It's not bad. Because where the church has been is Jesus has been our best friend. He's been a good friend. He's forgiving. But there is a time coming where he's going to shake things. And you've heard me what the Lord shared with me with shake. He's going to shake all that can be shaken. Everything. You see it shaking around you? It hasn't even begun yet. Because he's coming back for that bride without spot or wrinkle. So the word test is important, and we need to know and recognize which one of these tests. Now he can be testing you on all three tests simultaneously, but you can't be in the same phase. Or you can only be in one phase, and this is the first of the phase. All three tests are very, very similar, and they are all there to shape our character. So God wants us to have integrity. God wants us to be obedient in doing or not doing. And he wants us to be full of the Word. Many never reach the next three phases. This next three phases has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do with did you submit to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit and allow yourself to step out of phase one? Because here's phase two. It's life maturing phase. In the life maturing phase, many of the lessons, because the Lord continues to teach us lessons that we learned in the first phase, now become our values. They become what we value. One of my lessons that he had me in at the very, very beginning of my walk with him is I had a need for people to accept me who I was. I mean, it drove me. And it's now a value of mine. That's why I accept anybody, because it's a value of mine. So our life lessons, if you pass the test, becomes a value. If you let it. If you ever enter into this phase. Because you could stay in the first phase your whole life and never leave that. So in the life maturing phase, it's where we walk in the Holy Spirit. We're getting it. We're walking in the Spirit. In fact, one of the versions of the Bible says keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. So it's like we're dancing. He speaks and we're dancing. That's part of life maturing phase. True fulfillment. How many want to be fulfilled? True fulfillment and achievement is in this phase. In this phase, there's a total dependency upon the Lord. We tend to, when we're in this phase, listen more than we're talking. I talk a lot to the Lord. But in this phase, you don't talk as much. You're listening more. The next phase, which is convergence, and it's a phase where a person learns to trust and rest in the Lord. Their sphere of influence is expanded. People start to look at you for counsel. They can see your maturity. I did look up the definition of conversions of the real dictionary is to move towards union in the merging of distinct technologies, industries, and devices into a unified whole. See, so the person in this phase, phase three, understands it's not just about them. It's about merging together as a whole, all of our gifts together. The fourth phase is afterglow. And I looked up the word afterglow. And this is where people, when they get to this phase, I think of Billy Graham in this phase, bringing glory to God. Never anything that any of us ever knew about him falling, doing, you know, not walking the way that he should have. He's been true. I believe he's in this phase. And you can see the glory of God with his white hair all on him. It's just a wonderful thing. So I looked up the definition to glow frequently, the glow frequently seen in the sky after a sunset. Isn't that wonderful? A pleasant effect or feeling that lingers after something is done. So what phase are we in? We are called to examine ourselves. You know, the one thing that all pastors always say about sermons is that people tend to sit in sermons and go, I wish so-and-so was here. They needed to hear that. But what phase are you in? Even as I was putting this together, and the Lord been stirring about the knowing, the being, and the doing with me for a long time. But as I decided to bring in Bobby Clinton's thing about the four phases, I started going, Lord, take me to the next phase. But he will never take us to the next phase, because what he wants to do is bring us up to the next phase. But we never get to go up until we put something down. Always. So what is he asking you to put down? Because then he's going to bring you up. It's we can stay down. We can stay there. That's not, he's not going to force you to stay, to go up. But in my opinion, it's freedom. The ways of the Lord are freedom. The more and more you learn to walk like this, the more free you're going to be. I love it. It's a good adventure, because it's not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And are you letting him live in you? That means we don't get to do what we want. Do you know that? From one end of the Bible to the other, there's nothing in here that says you get to do what you want. As a child of God, we're supposed to ask, what does he want us to do? Because there is nothing hidden, he desires us to not only to know, but to be, and then to do what he's called us to do. So, yada, these are serious times that we would really understand who he is, who he's calling us to be. I want to play another video. It's like 2 minutes, and it's You Must Overcome.
And through the power of your spirit, we can overcome, we will overcome, we must overcome. There's not one of us that are true Christians that are not feeling the pressure. The world is against us. The devil is against us. Our own flesh at times rises up and is adverse to us. The thing of overcoming is now. It's in this present state. It's in this present struggle. To follow on to know the Lord. To press in. To strive. Strive to enter in the narrow gate. Whatever it takes. Whatever it costs. Whatever I have to give up. Whatever has to be burned out of me. Whatever has to be chastened out of me. I want to be like Christ. Come on, Lord, do it to me. Bring me in. Save my soul. Purify my life. Bring me into the perfect image of your Son, and I'll be happy. I mean, the devil's after you. Powers and principalities you wrestle with. Resist it. I will not do that sin. I will not go that way. But the only faith that really is faith is a faith that overcomes. There are going to be people that let you down and offend you that you're going to have to get over and forgive and get over it. Know that the devil is serious and hell-bent on pulling you back down, pulling you away from the Lord. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Gird up, Paul said, the loins of your mind. Pull up your britches and get serious. Oh, the call is serious tonight, folks. It was that smug, middle-of-the-road attitude, that state of comfortable compromise between total devotion and total deadness, the halfway house, neither hot nor cold, not all out for sin, but not all out for God either. The overthrow of your devotion to Jesus Christ, the killing of your good works the killing of your prayer life, bringing you out of fellowship with the saints, into closeness with the wrong crowd, out of your prayer life and away from the Word of God, out of the Spirit and into the flesh, out of the joy of the Lord and into stress and tribulation, away from hope into skepticism and despair. Get back to Him who is supreme. Get back to the real cause of everything. Get back to your joy. Get back to your salvation. God is for you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
It is a serious time. It really is. And God, in His love, He loves us so much that He is shaking His church. He is shaking us as individuals. I know that many of us are going through really hard times, but there's nothing that He would ever do to harm us. Do you believe that? He'll never do anything to harm us. His desire is that we would live life abundantly. So I'm going to ask that the prayer team, in a little bit, that we're going to have prayer. In fact, I really know that the Lord's desire for us is that we would really know His love. We would really know His love. That we would really know Him. One of my favorite scriptures is in one of my favorite books is the book of Ephesians. Let's close in that. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses what? It's His love. That you may be filled up to all fullness of God. It's His love. It's all about His love. Knowledge puffs up, but it's His love for us, calling us, that's going to take away so much of what we're going through so that we get advanced. Let's have the prayer team come forward. And the call is, do you want the Lord to shake you, or do you want the Lord, because it says again, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Yes? Very good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm humming for some reason. I don't know why I'm humming. It's because I'm a walker. It's really, really the evangelism in me, because I can't sit still. I've tried to sit still. I can't sit still. You keep on telling me to go over there. I don't want to be over there. Anyway, do you want to be shaken or do you want to be stirred? The call is, if you want to be stirred, allow Him to stir in you what He's doing. If you refuse to be stirred, you will be shaken. That's not a threat. He does it in His love, because it's His love that wants to touch you. So I've got another video that we're going to play. I don't know if Alan's listening. Let's just play that video. And very good. Seek the Lord. If you want prayer, come on forward. Again, all it is for somebody to agree with you. It's not magic. So come forward if you want prayer. And thank you. I love His word. I love you guys. I love you.
As you open my eyes to the work of your hand. When I'm blind to my way, there your Spirit will pray. As you open my